Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to give you the clarity, courage, and commitment you need to do what matters. My name is Michelle Cachette. I'm your co-host today, and I'm sitting in the studio with Michael Hyatt. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, Michelle.
So today, we're going to talk about how you can better control your time, because the truth is when it comes to how you spend your time, you have a choice.
Yep.
You can either live on purpose according to a plan you've developed and set, or you can just kind of live in reactive mode, kind of by accident, reacting to the demands of others. The first is proactive. The second is reactive. One makes you feel empowered. The other leaves you feeling powerless. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So now you wrote a blog post on this entire subject where you compared creating an ideal week plan or an ideal work week plan with creating a budget.
Yes.
Okay, explain that.
Well, the idea is, and I learned this from Dave Ramsey, spend it on paper before you spend it in reality. So that one, like when it comes to money.
Mm-hmm.
So you do much better than rather just reacting to every opportunity that comes along to spend money. If you plan it ahead of time, so you have, as Dave says, a name or a place for every dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with your time. Time is an even more finite resource because you can't work harder to get more time. You've only got 168 hours a week. You've got to decide how you're going to allocate those. So to spend those on paper before they happen is a hugely important and necessary exercise.
So we often use that kind of phrase where we talk about we can nickel and dime ourselves to death financially, but the truth is we can do the same thing with our time.
You can, and I want to allow some room in my schedule for sure to allow for spontaneity, for mm-hmm. things I didn't consider. Same thing, by the way, with your money. You know, you want to have enough margin in your finances that you can handle the unexpected. Same thing is true in your calendar, but that's not going to happen if we just go through life reacting to mm-hmm. every request that comes in for our time.
Now, I want to know when you kind of started plotting out your week like this. Now, I say this kind of ready to chuckle and laugh because the truth is you and I think pretty much were born scheduling our lives.
Exactly. I came out with a schedule.
You were born and you handed your mom a little Excel spreadsheet yeah. and said, okay, this is how it's going to happen.
I want my feeding in 2 hours and then I want another one 2 hours after that. Yeah.
So I'm sure you've always had a little bit of a bent towards scheduling, planning, plotting out.
But
when did you start actually using the process you're going to teach us today?
Probably about 12 years ago.
Okay.
And I just realized that if I was more intentional about it and more thoughtful about it, and obviously I'd kept a calendar for years, so I knew appointments, but to be even more proactive than that and to try to be proactive with my discretionary time, not just the appointments, but the other time as mm-hmm. well. And then I began, we'll talk about this, grouping it around themes and focus areas, because you kind of, when you get into a mode of doing a certain kind of work, it's great to stay in that mode and complete the work rather than just, you know, bouncing from one thing to the next.
So what about the person right now who's like, yeah, I'm not a schedule person. I don't like operating that way. This isn't for me. What would you say to them?
How's it working for you?
That's a good question.
I mean, if it's working, you know, I there's no magic in the formula. And, you know, it's like any other kind of productivity tool. I tend to gravitate toward what works. I'm a real pragmatist. So if this works for you, great.
Okay.
If it doesn't, that's fine too, but in my experience, what gets on the calendar gets done. And so if you want to really ramp up your productivity and maintain your sanity, that's a huge part of it.
I'm all for that. That sounds like a good idea to me.
Then thinking through your ideal week is helpful. And I just want to say this too. Just because you come up with an ideal week, it rarely works out in an ideal fashion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you've got your plan and then you got life. And life doesn't always turn out, as you well know, as you plan it. There's always the unexpected that you have to account for. But it does go better if you have a track to run on. If you kind of know, you pre-allocate how you're going to spend the time. And then when you have the interruptions or the requests or the opportunity to get off track, fine, you can do that.
So you said you started doing this about 12 years ago. What kind of immediate results have you seen or benefits you've seen from kind of changing how you do this?
Well, one of the things that it did was that it allowed me to get my team on board so that there was alignment with everybody on the team.
Okay.
So, you know, so often when you're trying to plan out your week, you find yourself, the very people that are there to help you, end up sabotaging you unwittingly because mm-hmm. they don't really know what the grand plan is. They don't know that there's some master schedule or something that would be helpful to you. So this helps you, first of all, get clarity for yourself and then get that clarity with your team and with the people that are trying to help you so that you're all working together toward a common purpose.
All right. So let's dig in. You're going to provide us today with 7 steps that will help us to create kind of our ideal week plan where we're designing it intentionally and setting a plan in place that we operate from. And the goal being that we're then more in control of our time rather than random things controlling how our week pans out. So let's start walking through those seven steps. What's the first one?
Okay, so the first one is to pick the right tool. So this is going to take a tool to do it. One tool would simply be to create a schedule form or find a schedule form online that you could just fill out by hand. And a lot of people prefer that kind of analog method, and that's fine. You know, some people are more tactile. They like that, and that's fine. Personally, I like digital tools because they're always with me. They're on my computer and so forth. And I think there's a couple of options there. When I originally created this tool, I did it in Excel, and that's what I still use today. And people will have a link in the show notes for people to be able to download this. But Excel is nice for me because it gives me a lot of flexibility on creating it. Once it's done, then I create a PDF document from that that I can circulate with my staff, and so that we all have this always at our disposal as we're working through my calendar or the requests are coming in. More recently, I've talked to some people who took that initial idea, and because Google Calendar allows you to create multiple calendars, they simply, and I like this idea, I haven't done it yet, but I plan to, and that is to create an actual calendar that's your ideal week calendar. And so that you create as repeating appointments these various areas of your calendar that you're going to map out. So for example, I'm going to just use a simple one. If you are in the habit of going to church every week, you could create a repeating appointment on your ideal calendar for church and map that out, and then it occurs. But here's the cool thing. You could turn that on selectively when you want to see what sort of the ideal week is and the roadmap is, and then turn it off. So it's not a distraction because you're going to have appointments overlaying other appointments. But to turn it on selectively and just to look at it and use that as a template, if you will, for designing each week as it comes up.
So as far as this first step, picking the right tool, it's really important that each person picks the tool that works for them. Not everything is going to work for everybody.
Yeah, that's right. And you can, you know, use a little creativity. People that are maybe a little OCD like us may prefer one.
Hey, speak for yourself.
I was. And you. But people that are like us tend to pick tools that they really enjoy. Are you more analog or more digital?
Okay. So I tend to be more analog.
Okay.
I really like writing, you know, handwriting down something that I can cross off and, you know,
you do have
in
a
my
task
hands.
List as
yes,
well?
I do that.
Yeah.
However, I've been using Evernote more, and I've started creating even just a very basic, simple task list on just a Word document where I just list out all the days and the different tasks that are every single day, and just basic and simple, and it's worked for me so far.
Well, and the thing you don't want to do, and I think this is true of all software tools, is you don't want to have so many tools. And particularly if you're not that familiar with them, I think it's better to go deep with a few tools. I tend to be a geek and really enjoy the learning aspect of that. So I tend to use
Me,
more
not
focused
so
tools.
Much.
Well, you're not alone.
Yeah, I mean, just not, and I can find that I get so sucked into the tool itself and spend hours and hours trying to create something.
Totally.
That I'm kind of defeating the whole purpose of, you know, managing my time. So I've learned that if I keep it as simple as possible, it just works better for me.
Well, and the tool is the means to the end, not the end. So that's true with task management, calendars, Evernote. I mean, I used to get this debate all the time between whether Mac was better than Windows. You know, honestly, I think it's a matter of preference.
Yes.
You know, I use Mac, you use Mac. I think it's a great computer. I love it. I really enjoy the operating system and all the software. But if somebody prefers Windows, fantastic. There's no right or wrong answer. There's no even better answer. There's just what works for you.
Exactly. All right. So first step is to pick the right tool. What is the second step?
Yeah. The idea here is to identify the themes. Now, here's what I mean by that. If you theme your week so that each day has a different theme, or it might have a couple of themes, you're able to consolidate those kind of tasks under that theme. And I'll give you a real example. So for me, Monday and Tuesday, until we just changed this with the podcast, it was really all about blog and podcast. So it was me creating the content that I'm going to use in my platform to draw people to me, create my visibility, create a bigger audience.
Okay.
So Monday and Tuesday, when I get in that mode, in that creative mode, that content production mode, I'm able to stay focused and really stay in that space and be more productive because I'm staying in it. So that's like Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday and Thursday is my special projects time. So whether I'm working on a webinar or an upcoming speech or a book, whatever it is, those 2 days are my special project time, and mostly content creation as well. But it's not the content creation that I do in blogging and podcasting. Then on Friday, and I got this little tip from my friend Don Miller, I do meetings only on Friday.
Okay.
Because for me, as an introvert, if I have meetings during the week when I'm trying to create content, it like really throws me off my game.
Okay.
You know, it kind of pulls me out of that creative focus, and it takes me a long time to get back into the game and get refocused and become creative again. So once I get in that zone, I really don't want to leave it. It's just, it, you know, okay, the chances of me getting back to it are lessened. So Friday's appointments. And so when somebody sends in a request for an appointment, Trevinia, my assistant, schedules it sometime on the next available Friday. Sometimes that means people have to wait, you know, longer than sometimes I would like. But I tell you, I love this quote. We may have used it on the podcast before, but Warren Buffett said, and I use it in this speech you recently heard me do at the World Domination Summit, but the difference between successful people and very successful people is that very successful people say no to almost everything.
I love that quote. I remember that now from your speech. And I mean, that's just, that's so convicting and empowering at the same time.
It is. So for me, that's Friday. That's the theme of Friday is appointments. Okay. And I just kind of get into that groove. I'm going to have a good attitude all day as I meet with people. And I'm going to go from one meeting to the next. Sometimes I can't remember all the people I've met with by the end of the day, but I knock them out in one day and then I'm done. Then Saturday is really just personal and family time.
Okay.
You know, so that
day. You just really preserve that? Do you block it off?
I do. And it's got a lot of margin. Okay. And I'm available then to do spontaneous, crazy things, go play golf with my friends, take Gail out for a date. You know, usually Saturday night's a date night. Then for me, Sunday is church is my theme. You know, that for me is a day of worship. It's a day of reflection. It's a day of also beginning to look forward to the new week so that on Sunday evening, I begin to review what happened in the previous week. And plan out up the upcoming week. So that's what I mean by themes.
Okay, that makes sense. And I do something similar to that where my appointment days are Tuesday, Thursday, and I call them my creative days are Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Mm. And I like to alternate them because I just look forward to those. So that kind of gives me that little boost to look forward to.
That's good.
So something similar. Okay, so pick the right tool, identify the themes. What's the third step?
The third step is to identify your focus areas. So again, think of this as a spreadsheet. Your themes are like the columns or the days, okay? The focus areas are more like the rows. And I can illustrate it better than say what it is. But like first thing in the morning, for example, that for me is all about myself. So I'm going to focus on my spiritual life, my intellectual life, my physical life. That's when I work out. That's when I have what I call my quiet time. Other people call it the same thing. I go to the gym, whatever. And for me, and again, no right or wrong answer here for different people, it'll be a different time. But for me, that starts at 5 in the morning and will take me till about 7:30. I'm also including reading blogs and news, but it's just self. It's what Stephen Covey calls sharpening the saw.
Okay.
I want the sharpest saw possible. I want to be able to feed my mind, keep my body in shape so that I'm in the best condition I can to perform for the rest of the day. And if I don't do that incrementally and do it regularly, it's real easy for the blade of the saw to get dull. And then it takes a lot more effort to get the work done. So there's nothing that makes, and my dad and I used, when I was a teenager, we would cut a lot of wood. And we did it as part of the family business to support the family, but we'd go out with chainsaws. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when you get a dull chainsaw blade, it makes it really tough.
Uh-huh.
And you get it sharp and you can be twice as productive. So the sharpening the saw time is really important. Then I go into, and this is another focus area, is obviously work.
Okay.
And I don't think there's a clear line of demarcation always between work and regular life, because life sometimes happens in the middle of work. And sometimes work, you know, may happen at like, when the kids were young, sometimes I would do it after they'd go to bed. But for me, from about 8:30 in the morning till, I don't know, 5:30 or 6, that's pretty much work. You know, I'm going to be focused on that. That evening time, the focus for that is family and friends and just planning.
All right. Makes sense. All right. Before we go on to the next four steps, we're going to take a break, but I want you to stick with us and we'll be right back.
As a busy and successful blogger, podcaster, author, speaker, and consultant, I'm constantly asked about the tools I use to get it all done. Now, for the first time, I'm going to pull back the curtain and let you peek inside my toolbox to see the software and hardware I use for everything from blogging and podcasting to productivity, social media, and speaking, plus so much more. You can't buy inside my toolbox, but you can get it for free by subscribing to my free email newsletter. When you subscribe, you'll receive my newest content right in your inbox. You'll never have to worry about missing an important post or update again. To get your free copy of the Inside My Toolbox ebook, visit michaelhyatt.com and enter your name and email address into the form on the page. Don't waste any more time or money using the wrong tools. Sign up today at michaelhyatt.com.
Today, we're talking about how you and I can better control our time by designing our ideal week. And before the break, we walked through three steps that can help us get there. The first was to pick the right tool. The second step was to identify the themes. The third step was to identify the focus area. So go ahead and take us right into that fourth step.
Okay. So the fourth one, now that you've got your themes mapped out, and again, these would be the columns in the spreadsheet, and you've got your focus areas marked out, which would be the rows in the spreadsheet, okay. Now it's time to start actually populating that ideal week. And so you want to start by plotting your regular commitments. So for me, these would be things like date night. Let me just turn to my calendar here. So for me, that would be Friday night or Saturday night. Then I've got church, which is, you know, going to be a time that I'm going to block out. I'm blocking out all of Friday for appointments, literally from the time I start that morning till that evening. My weekly review on Sunday night, whatever it is for you, you know, regular time for me to visit my parents. We have a Tuesday night supper club with friends, but just those regular
like
commitments.
Recurring things that are always on your calendar on Tuesday at 3 o'clock or whatever. Just make sure you add those in.
And the way that I think of these, Michelle, is kind of non-discretionary time. In other words, these are commitments that I've made that until something changes kind of in my life plan or the way I'm thinking about my life, those are going to remain on my calendar from there on out.
Makes total sense.
Working out, too, is another one.
Absolutely. Well, if you want to make it a commitment, I found
that's right.
If I don't put it in there in those regular commitment slots, it ends up not happening.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
For me, I intentionally make sure it's put in there.
And so me, I get as specific as strength training is going to be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Cardio is going to be Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and Sunday, I'm not going to do anything.
Do you have a set time for that?
I do.
Okay.
Yep. For me, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm meeting with my trainer on the strength training days because
I really do have a commitment.
I do. And I'll tell you what was great about that. I had a really hard time maybe 2 or 3 years ago of getting any traction on strength training. Cardio, easy.
Mm-hmm.
But getting to the gym was just difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry Cloud talks about when you're having a hard time accomplishing a goal to bring in other resources, whether you may be reading a book or maybe listening to a podcast, or it might be, in my case, hiring a trainer.
Okay.
And so the very fact that I was spending money that I was going to spend regardless of whether I showed up, because if I don't show up, I'm still going to pay the guy because it's his time. And I know he's waiting for me. I got there.
Yeah, because you're invested.
I'm invested.
Exactly right. I like that. So first thing, plot your regular commitments. Then what do you do next after that?
Okay, so the next thing after that is to schedule adequate margin.
Okay, now I find that ironic that you would put margin in there before you start filling in other things.
Yeah.
And at the same time, as I find that ironic, it makes sense because if we don't schedule it and put it in there, it's gone.
It just won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And again, to quote Stephen Covey, he has this very famous illustration that you can find on YouTube. I don't know why, but the Covey organization keeps taking this down. I think this is like the best advertisement for Dr. Covey. If they'd leave it up, it would be very helpful in case you're listening at the Covey organization. But it's called Put the Big Rocks In First.
Have you ever seen that? Yes. And I almost
just
a second ago mentioned it about the big rocks because it's such a great analogy. You got to put them in there. Otherwise, they won't fit.
Yeah. So let me just see if I can describe this. It'd be awesome if we could show it, but I don't have confidence that it will be up by the time people go to the link that we provide. Mm-hmm. But we'll try to do that. So the idea is Dr. Covey takes a big glass jar.
Mm-hmm.
He calls a woman up from the audience. He has a bunch of big rocks and he has a bunch of pebbles, gravel, that kind of stuff. And so he asked the woman to put in all the pebbles and the gravel first in the jar, and now to put all the big rocks into the jar. And of course, they don't fit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, okay, so what we need is a paradigm shift here. We need to try something completely different. So he empties all that back out. And then he says, let's start by putting the big rocks in first.
Mm-hmm.
And so he puts the big rocks in first. And then they pour the gravel and the pebbles in after that, and it all fits. Just barely, but it all fits. And so his point is that you got to put the big rocks in first. And so for all of us, there are big rocks in our calendar and our schedule. It's the things typically that aren't urgent, but they're really important.
Mm-hmm.
So that time with our spouse.
Yes,
that absolutely. Time with our kids or our grandchildren. That time taking care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, adequate or appropriate self-care. Those are the big rocks. And for me, I just want margin. One of the things I've learned over time is that stuff takes longer than I think it will.
Mm-hmm. It always does.
And so if I don't have margin, it's a recipe for stress.
Yes.
and probably distress.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I've got some extra time, and margin really comes from the book publishing world or the print world, or just imagine if you're reading a book and if the type ran all the way to the edges,
mm-hmm.
you know, started at the very top, ran all the way to the bottom, very left-hand
edge. That's exhausting.
Edge.
I mean, like,
it'd just be exhausting.
Picturing it makes me tired, which is what we do to ourselves, though, in life.
That's right. So we gotta leave white space.
All right. So schedule, adequate margin. What is the sixth step?
Let me just say one other thing about margin. If you were actually looking at my ideal week, and you can see this when you download the example, you'll see just areas that are blocked out that don't have anything scheduled. That's what I mean by margin.
Okay.
Okay.
And then I would imagine that each of us, you kind of play with that. And if you haven't scheduled enough margin, you go back the next week and maybe add a little more or
you know,
play with it and find the right margin for
you. And there's going to be seasons, you know, like I've just come, as we're recording today, I've just come off of 10 days on the road and I've had like zero margin. You know, it's been crazy. We did mm-hmm. the platform conference, then I had a trustee meeting in New York, and then we had a funeral to attend in Orlando. And so it was literally 10 solid days on mm-hmm. the road. But that's a season. So I know I'm going off my ideal plan for that, mm-hmm. but now I'm going to snap back
yes.
to it.
Well, and you've also told me offline that you've kind of carved out a couple days that are going to be nothing but margin
that's
to
right.
recover. So you've kind of planned that out so that way you can bounce
that's
back.
Right. I can't wait.
I'm happy for you. I'm going to hold you to it too. All right. So the sixth step, what is that?
This is to color code those items that contribute toward your goals. Now, obviously, this presumes that you know what your goals are. But this is what my friend Daniel Harkavy calls on time. In other words, time that really is on purpose, on plan, mm-hmm. moving you toward the things that matter the most. And I color code those green. Okay, a little bit of a nerd here. But I color code those green. And then time that's like off time or stop, think red, stress, you know, warning, alert. Those are the things that sometimes we have to do,
mm-hmm.
but they're not really contributing towards anything. So,
okay.
for example, all those appointments that I typically have on Friday, you know, usually those are going to be reactive. Some of them will be proactive and will move me towards my goals, but occasionally I'm just trying to give of myself, make myself available. It's not really advancing my goals. Other than just trying to, you know, be a contributing member of
okay.
the community.
So, and what's really, I mean, why does that really matter as far as identifying? I mean, it just sounds like a lot of work going in there and identifying what's contributing to your goals, what isn't. But what's at stake with that? Why does it matter?
Well, I really like just fooling around with the colors. Let's start with that.
I was guessing that. I just wanted to hear it out loud.
No, I tell you the helpful thing is that if most of your calendar, if you realize that most of that is red time.
Okay.
Or reactive time,
mm-hmm.
then it's only a matter of time before you end up in trouble.
Yes, burnout.
Burnout.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if most of your time is green time
mm-hmm.
and you're really advancing the ball down the field, moving toward the goals that are important to you, that's a good thing. So I just want to see a plethora of green time and mm-hmm. very few red time slots.
Just that exercise, I would imagine, even if you just took a week and kind of plotted everything out, even in retroactively, I imagine, think about your last week, plot it all out and then shade it. I mean, it would be very telling.
It can be sobering.
For each of us, just to go through that one exercise.
I should mention this tool that I just started using last night. That's too soon for me to really comment on whether it's going to be valuable, but there's an application online. You can try it for free called Rescue Time. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So what this does is basically once you install it on your computer, it monitors everything you do in the background. And then it summarizes
okay,
it by category.
That frightens me.
I know. It's a little bit scary, but it's sobering. So like when you're on Twitter... In your browser, it's logging time on social media. Facebook, same thing. If I'm writing in Scrivener, which is the word processing system that I use, then it's logging that as writing. So it keeps meticulous time, and it allows you to also manually log in time. Like mm-hmm. if I have a meeting or I'm away from my office or yesterday I was reading your book, you know, I can log that in different from the computer because I'm not doing that in the computer. But then it has these very comprehensive analytics. So you can see where your time went.
Oh,
and then hopefully baseline it and then improve it. So for example, if you're spending 10 hours a week on social media, you might say, you know, I want to be involved in social media because I want to build my platform, but I sure don't want to be spending 10 hours a week doing it. So how can I create a strategy to do that
really
less?
Okay, I really like that. You're going to have to keep me posted on what
Rescue
you think
time.
About it. after a few weeks of using it, but I love that. All right, so let's move on to that final step. So let's just to recap for a moment. The first step, pick the right tool. Second, identify the themes. Third, identify your focus areas. Four, plot your regular commitments. Five, schedule adequate margin. Six, color code those items that contribute to your goals. And seven is?
Solicit the help of your assistant, spouse, basically everybody that's close to you and has significant influence over your calendar. Because, for example, if my assistant, and there are guys that do this, gals that do this, but if your assistant doesn't know that you want to consolidate, like in your case, your meetings are on Tuesday and Thursday.
Yes.
So if your assistant who's scheduling your calendar keeps interrupting you and putting appointments on your calendar that on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday,
that's not going to
serve you.
I would not be happy.
So at some point you have to, you know, you have to ask, okay, look, have I made my expectation clear? Mm-hmm. And so the great thing about an ideal week like this is it makes your expectation clear. But then to have your spouse know that as well.
Okay.
So that they're not scheduling time when you're really trying to be creative. For me, when I'm hunkering down in my office and I'm trying to write, I want the people that know me best and the people that really could derail me to know I'm going to leave him alone. Because he's trying to create, and that's in the best interest of everybody. If he creates, writes his book, does his webinar, whatever. So it's a great tool to create alignment inside an organization.
I love that because our goal here today is to design, which is very intentional, to design your ideal week. And you have to include the different important members of your circle in that process. So now what about the person that's good at creating a plan like this, but terrible at execution? Know anybody like that, but.
Well, let me just say this.
I
want to say it again. I think we started with this, but it's going to be rare that your ideal week and your real week line up 100%.
True.
Like for me, almost never.
Mm-hmm.
But they line up a lot more because I have an ideal week than if I didn't have an ideal week. So you've got to create this expectation in yourself to know that if you get off track, that's okay.
The unexpected always happens.
It always
happens.
There's
always something. A meeting goes a little bit longer or whatever.
But I keep coming back to it. And so for me on Sunday nights, I call it my weekly review. But that's where I'm going to recalibrate. I'm going to ask myself, well, how did this past week go? How did I do in achieving my ideal week? There probably were some hits and some misses. Not a problem. So this next week, as I'm looking forward to this next week, and I'm looking at the non-discretionary time that's already allocated, appointments that I've got, things I'm committed to, what do I need to do to maybe even shift things and make sure that I get closer to that ideal week? So it's always an ideal that I'm pursuing, but probably rarely actually hitting 100%. And that's okay.
But it still changes your productivity level.
Totally.
Just having it there
Absolutely.
And having some kind of guideline. You know, this really is a guideline rather than a hard and fast.
Gives you a baseline.
Yes, exactly. Do you involve, and I know you've said you share it with your team, but just some accountability as well with your team to say, okay, we didn't stick with this. You know, how can we tweak it? How can we make it better?
Yes, but not weekly.
Okay.
So periodically we'll do that. Like we just had an exercise where I flew in my two assistants to Nashville, and we thought we would really get ahead of this, not only on the ideal week, but the further out you can do your planning, the more control you have over it. Like you may not have control over next week or the week after that, but if you can go out 6 months or a year from now, usually it's a white canvas, you know, a blank slate, you can really plan it. So we mapped out all of next year.
Okay.
So we looked at everything that I wanted to accomplish in that year, including margin, including the things that you normally wouldn't put on a calendar. And we tried to populate the calendar so that we didn't just sort of by accident give up that time and be reactive to something that really wasn't that important. That makes it much easier to do your ideal week when you've already laid out the road that far in advance.
Mm-hmm. And just as you were talking, I was thinking of those people that really, you know, let's say the person who works from home and their schedule really has to orient around like school years and things like that. So you can even redesign this for the summer break and to like take that in consideration because it really can be seasonal at times what your ideal week works like. It's not always 52 weeks out of the year.
No, that's exactly right. And there'll be times when it becomes very different. But what a great thing around which to align your family. So now at my age, my kids are grown, but we like to take family vacations or involve as much as the family as we can at certain times of the year. But that means we have to know in advance when the school breaks are going to be so that we don't plan a time when the kids are going to be in school, but we try to accommodate that as much as possible.
Which is another argument for the whole digital tool because it's easier to share that, to work together and do that.
Share those calendars. That's right.
So again, our goal today has been to help all of us to take control of our time so that way we are proactive rather than reactive, and that we're designing our week rather than just waiting for the unexpected to kind of derail us. And we've walked through 7 different steps in order to make that happen. Pick the right tool, identify the themes, identify your focus areas, plot your regular commitments, schedule adequate margin. I think we could say that one again. Schedule adequate margin.
It's the hardest one.
Color code those items that contribute to your goals and solicit the help of your assistant or family or spouse, whatever it may be. If you've enjoyed today's conversation, you can get all the show notes and a full transcript for this episode at michaelhyatt.com. For those who would rather watch than listen, we also have the video available at michaelhyatt.com. Any final thoughts, Michael?
Yeah, I would just say this. If you don't have a plan for your life, somebody else does. And you're probably not going to like their plan as much as you'd like your own plan. So be proactive. Yes. Take the initiative. Just try this for 30 days and see if it works for you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for being with us today. Until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Do what matters.